normally work with a master club, and you've not been in on some of our lessons here as we've looked in the armor of God. And we're going to be looking at what some people would call the last piece of armor. If you come back next week, you'll find out there's another. Alrighty? Some of you probably already figured that out. Let me review something we did a little bit on Sunday morning. Talked about, to some degree, our trip down to Costa Rica, and I realize a lot of folks weren't here, and some of those who went were not able to get here as well. And nonetheless, one of the things that just came back to me with such great emphasis was how it is so needed in winning people to Christ to build relationships with them. To get to know them, to let them know that, basically let them know you're real. If you're phony, it's not going to work, but it's so necessary. It's just neat to see what God's done in some lives. Got to meet a fellow named Eliezer. Remember Eliezer? We had breakfast with him. And did you go on the famous ride down the backside of the mountain? Okay. Yeah, you did. And will you ever forget that trip? Okay. Was that the bounciest ride you've ever been on?
No.
You've been on worse? Oh, you ride tractors. I forgot. Anyways, I got to meet Eliezer almost 10 years ago, and he was a brand new Christian. Got to give him some testimony. God used that in his life, which I didn't realize till later, but it was just a. And I've got to meet him a couple times since, and to see how God has worked in his life, and Brother Ron going over week after week, because it's about 25 miles from his house. It takes 2 hours to get there, the shortcut. It is, it's only about 25 miles. And to see how he has matured. There's a group of folks over there that they've been kind of forming a church. They've hit a roadblock. Need to pray for them on this. The home they've been meeting in for the last several months is now not available on Sundays. They're thinking about maybe doing it on Tuesdays. The man was hurt very severely in an accident, and now his family all shows up every Saturday and Sunday and it just hasn't worked for them to do that. Anyways, just one of the things that happens in ministry. But he's priming Eliezer for this. God has recently put him in a job where he's now a supervisor, giving him leadership kind of abilities on the job, which I think some training for him in the future in the ministry. So it's just exciting to see that. Got to meet or just see a fellow that, on every trip, gone to the restaurant, and it's on a real steep hill, and how anybody even knows it's there is beyond me, but the place is world famous. Seriously, there's been people from some unusual parts of the world have eaten at this place, and Brother Ron has been able to have him in their home on several occasions, built some relationship, and he's asking questions now, not just Ron bringing it up, but he's asking him questions. That's a big step for folks who are been bound in the stuff they've been in, and just continue to pray for these people. God just bless. It's neat to see this, and it reminds me. It's just the same thing we do here. It's build some relationships. That doesn't mean we mingle with the world and go out and do all their stuff. No, they just get to know us a little bit, and we're able to talk to them about the Lord and so forth, because they've learned to trust us. And I mentioned this Sunday. How many of you, if a Jehovah Witness comes to your house, dread the idea and try to get rid of them right away? Be honest. You try to get rid of them as quickly as possible. Yeah, most of you do. How many of you... Some people use the opportunity.
Here, a couple of years ago, I was out in the garage working, and here come a couple of them up the driveway, and they saw a man coming in and started introducing himself to how they did. I said, "I bet you're here to talk about God, aren't you?" He said, "Yes, we are." I said, "Well, what do you want to know?"
Yeah. You ruined my whole thing. Some people who are perfect, they take the time to deal with them. But most of the time, we just, what I'm trying to get across is, a lot of times we're busy or whatever, and we don't want to be bothered. If we come to the door the same way, isn't that what happens? I mean, I've had the same expressions on the faces and so forth. But when we have the opportunity through whatever means it is to build some relationships, it's just very neat. I have found that just whatever we're going through and the people we run into and through a little casual conversation, how you can change that to talking about the Lord. It's miraculous what God will do in those things if we're walking with Him and those thoughts are upon our minds. We can't help ourselves. Mm-hmm. It's like a young lady who's just gotten a rock from her boyfriend, you know, and they're engaged and she walks like this all day long. You know, she can't help it. She wants everybody to see that thing. And that's the kind of thing that I find that really when we're reaching people for Christ, it really works. And just fall in love with Jesus, learn about Him, and allow God to give you those appointments. I've called them divine appointments. I've been out riding my bicycle on a number of occasions and through something, just get to talking to somebody. You can talk to them about the Lord in just a few moments normally. And it's just interesting the things that are available if we allow that to take place. So anyways, wanted to just share that with you. We have a great opportunity. We're going to look at tonight at something that we use in that opportunity. And it's called the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. If you look with me in chapter number 6, verse 17, it's exactly what it says in the latter part. Verse 17 says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let's go to Him in prayer tonight. Father, thank You so much for the privilege to enter this house tonight. We thank You for this, Your Word. Now, Lord, tonight I pray that You would teach us. I pray that we would be receptive. I pray that You would give us for some nothing new, but reminders. Lord, we are people who forget so easy. Many times in Your Word You've said to remember. And so, God, that You might remind us. God, that You might work in our hearts and help us to realize that we are on the victorious side in Christ. And the devil and all of his foe, though they look tough, fall when we are armored in that which You clotheth with. Bless, we pray, in these moments in Christ's name. Amen. The biggest part of the message in the last several weeks is, you are a winner. You know, a lot of folks are walking around with a loser on their forehead, but that's not true for God's people. We're not on the losing side. Amen? God is all-powerful. When I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior, I find that His Spirit came to dwell within me. And I find that here I have the indwelling Christ, and I have that power available to me. And it's through Him. It's not that I'm powerful, it's that He is, and He has made Himself available to us to work in us. We find in this chapter that God shows us armor because we are in a battle. This is not armor to keep us out of battle. This is because we're in the battle. Don't ever get the idea that, boy, I just wish that everything would quit and I wouldn't have these problems. You just well write it down. You're going to have them till you die. Understand this. The problems probably won't get easier. They probably won't get easier. Jenna, when you started out, you did what? 1 + 1 = 2. What are you doing now? Can you subtract? Okay. Can you multiply? What can you multiply? Do you know 4 × 4? Good, Allison. All right. It will come. The problems get harder and harder. Okay. And after a while, you get another, you know, 4 or 5 years. You know what they're going to do with those numbers? They're going to change them to X's. And you're going to be adding X's. And a lot of these folks out here, when you tell them that, they just absolutely go bonkers. But still a number. And it's all algebra is, really. And but anyway, the problems get bigger. That's what I'm trying to describe to you. That's true in life. And we're not going to get away from them. God gives us armor, not that we won't have problems, but because we do have problems and we need the armor. Okay? And so God has given us all of these things. In verse number 17, he talks about the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. Well, it's interesting that we have a tremendous demonstration of this. If you turn with the book of Matthew chapter 4, I just want to read this. You know the story, but let's look at it together. Chapter number 4 and verse number 1. Chapter 4, verse number 1. Then was Jesus led, this is always interesting, led of the Spirit. That's a capital S referring to the Holy Spirit of God, led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Wow. Some people say, you mean God directed him in this direction? Yeah. You know why? Because he wanted Jesus to beat up the devil. Amen? So he's going to allow you some battles so that you can win. Really, that's what it's about. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. How many would say, I could think I could understand that? Some of you, after 40 minutes, are hungry. Teenagers, every 40 seconds, have to have something going in their mouth if they are boys. I'm not sure about girls. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, doesn't say if, it said when, because he will come. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is God incarnate. And the devil did not back away from him. So don't get the idea he's going to back away from you. Amen? You're going to have some battles. And so he said, the tempter came to him. He said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, it is written. How did he answer him? With the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil, by the way, he hadn't stopped. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. Notice something here. We'll come back to this. The devil quotes Scripture. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. We've talked about it. He had the power to do this. We gave up that throne. The devil is what? The god of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air. He has that ability to do so. By the way, Jesus is coming back to do what? To do battle with him. It is the battle at Armageddon. And it is to what? Take back what is his. To become the king once again of this world. But notice what it happens here. Then Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. But I ask a question for you. He did leave him. Did he come back? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But he did so. Listen, the Lord did his bidding with the Word of God. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is God in the flesh. And what did he use? The Word of God. And what does God tell us that we ought to have prepared or have in our hand? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Until recent times, the sword was that which was an instrument of war. And all the armies were equipped with it. You didn't find an army that didn't have it. Matter of fact, even in modern times, you will find that in the dress attire, it is still available. By the way, though the sword is that which cuts, today we have our rifles and what with the shells and the bullets and what have you. It cuts the same kind of flesh. And even at the end of many of those rifles, what do they put? a bayonet for the hand-to-hand combat. And many of our soldiers, as Sean can tell you, have not been trained as much in guns as they have been in knives, which are basically swords. And so God is telling us this is a part of the armor that we need. It's interesting when you read the book of Revelation, chapter number 12, verse 11, says they overcame him, referring to the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Now, I think that's referring to the word of God within their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. How did they overcome? Through the word of God. We have this sword that is available to us. There's a couple of characteristics I think that we ought to, or observations I said we ought to first make. One of those is, unlike the other armor, the sword is both a defensive and an offensive weapon. It is used in both ways, whether on defense or offense. Now, all the other armor was for defense. But the sword is that which was defense, but also offense. Listen to what David said in Psalm 17:4. Tremendous verse. He says, concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, referring to God, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. David is saying, hey, listen, because of the word of God, I have been protected. It is that which is our defense. But it is also an offensive weapon. It pierces through the temptations that come our direction and the lusts that are from within. And there's something we ought to note about this. These lusts can be under that armor and they can gnaw at the soul. But what needs to be done is the sword of the Spirit stuck in it, and they might be obliterated. They might be mortified. They might be killed. 2 Peter 2:20 says, for after thee they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter ends worse with them than the beginning. He's saying, listen, you've got these things, and if they're not taken care of, it can come back and haunt you and hurt you. There's the besetting sin. What needs to be done with it? It needs to be cut. It needs to have that sword stuck through it. It must be used, by the way, in the right place and order. If you're putting on the armor, it's going to be the last thing you grab. As all the other armor is put into position, we're using the hands for that, and we reach down and we pick up that sword. And it is to guard against an attacker seeking to remove any of those pieces. Think about it. Without the sword, perhaps we could be taken down and the helmet ripped off or the shield ripped away. But with that sword, we have something to protect the other armor even. But also consider this. We noted just a moment ago, the devil also will pick up this sword. Have we not seen the cultists? Have we not seen the religionists? Have we not seen the enemies of the gospel take this same word and quote even portions of it, trying to destroy us? That be a true statement. And yet, what do we find? We find that it needs to be taken up by those who have on the right kind of armor. In other words, the person who has their heart right with God, a saved person, one walking with God, one who is with the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel. When the armor is in place, this is the person who then can take the sword of God and go into battle and win that battle. And how we need to understand, though there are the enemies galore, and though they even take and misuse the Word of God, you and I still have the sword of the Spirit. And it is effective. Families, do yourself a favor. How many believe tonight The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You believe that? Do yourself a favor in your home. Read it aloud. Guess who doesn't like it? Guess who is going to flee when he hears it? Guess who is concerned about others hearing that? And don't be afraid to take that Word of God and just read it aloud. One of the things, those who deal with spirit oppression and spirit possession, those who seek to eliminate that in the life of people, you know what they do? Not only do they pray and seek after God, but one of the things they do is that there will be some who are there reading the Word of God aloud. Why? Because it is quick and powerful. It has that effect in lives. I heard with my very own ears a man tell me just recently that as he was ministering in jail and as they would try to minister, it just did not seem that they were getting anywhere. And an old man came, an old preacher, and sat down and read. And as he was reading, he said, "We saw the Spirit of God work in the lives of those hardened men." And he says, "We figured out that day something. There's power in the Word." And he says, the power came because we were using a different version than the King James. He says, "I saw what God did that day." Amazing, amazing. God's Word is quick and it is powerful. No matter how perfected we might be in all of God's graces, He still needs the sword of the Spirit. It is the Spirit, by the way, who administers those graces initially anyway. And you and I, we must have that in our possession. No wonder the papists and the cultists and so many have admonished to let the learned explain the Word of God and keep it out of the hands of the people. Do you ever wonder why they called the years from about 500 to 1500 the Dark Ages? Because the Word of God was hidden from most people. Oh, there was religionists and there were churches, but the Word of God was not allowed into the hands of the people. But things began to take place as the Bible was translated into English and the Gutenberg press came available and the Word of God began to be mass produced and revivals began to break out. What took place? The Word of God got in the hearts of people. It's a powerful tool that we have. What's meant by the Word of God? That's a very simple question. But we do find that the Lord Jesus Christ is called the Word. The Bible says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ when you get to verse 14 of John chapter 1. But He is also seen as the one who is conquering using the sword from His mouth. Listen to Revelation 19:15. "And out of His mouth goeth a sharp," what, "sword, that with it He should smite the nations, and He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." What is the slain weapon of that great battle? It's the sword of the Spirit. It's the Word of God. Think about it. It's the Word of God that had the power to bring into being all the worlds and all of creation. God spoke and it came into being. Out of nothing we have everything. Why? Because God spoke it. And that Word that brought it into existence is also that which will bring judgment upon the entire world. But may I also say, it's that same Word that can bring salvation to our lost and damned souls. As you and I heard the Word of God and believed it, what happened? salvation came. It's a tremendous tool. And I hesitate even using the word tool. It's a weapon that's formidable. We have an opportunity to hold in our hand the Word of God and go forth with it. Is that which God has so directed to be given to men? Hebrews says, God who at sundry times in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. We have this wonderful Word of God. Why does it bear the name of the Spirit? Why is it called the sword of the Spirit? Could it be because it's a spiritual battle? 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, the pulling down of strongholds. It's a spiritual battle we're in. Billy Sunday used to preach, and he'd run across and slide across the platform area and shake his fist down at the devil and say, come up and fight like a man. But he will not do that. It's not a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle. And we need spiritual armor for it. And the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. It is that which can bring victory to our side. It is forged in the hand of the Spirit. 2 Peter 1:21 says, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God is the one, through the Spirit of God, who formed this wonderful Word, who gave it to you and to me. But why is it by the name of the Spirit? Perhaps one other reason, perhaps you could think of others. But as that Word of God goes forth, it's the Spirit of God that enlivens it, and allow me to use this word, interprets it. Makes it understandable in our heart. In John 16:13 says, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit of God is never out of line with the Word of God. Matter of fact, He takes that Word and brings understanding with it. How many read the Bible before they were saved? You read the Bible before you were saved. Some of you did. If you were like me, you could understand the history. You could perhaps appreciate the poetic side. Before I was saved, I didn't care about poetry. I didn't like Jack and Jill Went Up the Hill. That stuff was nonsense to me. You can appreciate the historical aspect of the Word of God. You can look at it and see the archaeological things. You can see all these kinds of things within the Word of God. But after you're saved, you can see the spiritual nature of it. I wish I could remember the book. I wish I could remember the author. A woman found a book one time and she opened it and began to read and was quickly bored and closed the book. A few years came and went and she fell in love with a man. And through the process of time, she, of course, learned that he was an author. And she then also learned he was the author of that book. She went back to that book and picked it up and began to read it with great interest and understanding. What made the difference? She now knew the author. And when we've come to know the author, He opens this wonderful book up. Amen. And we have the privilege to wield the sword of the Spirit that it might do its job not only in our lives, but to what? Conquer the devil and to gain ground. Because there's a real enemy out there that wants to destroy us. And he's got the power to do it if we're not armored. But when we put the armor on and get the sword of the Spirit in our hands, we have victory. We have that. It's available. One of the things I find, so many of God's people walk around defeated and don't need to. That's not God's intent. To have all kinds of battles? Sure. To have problems? Yes. To be bludgeoned by them and overcome by them? No. Go to the book of Hebrews. You don't need to do that in your mind. Go to the book of Hebrews and begin to look at those men by faith, by faith, by faith. Every one of them had major obstacles to overcome. By faith, Noah, what he prepared a boat. Do you realize how much ridicule he took? Do you realize the problems that he incurred in building such a monstrosity of a boat? I mean, really consider. It took him 100 years. And yet he did it by faith. What was it faith in? Faith in what God told him. And when you and I will simply believe this wonderful book, we can have the victory. Noah had the last laugh, if you please. Abraham walked with God. By faith, left the Ur of the Chaldees and came into what we now call Israel. What a trek. I mean, the problems he incurred. He failed a few times. But in the end, he is now described as the father of the faith. Oh, there's all kinds of problems out there. But they are overcomable. Amen. God made people to do things. The most unhappy people in America, it's a shame, most unhappy people in America are those who don't do anything. Who sit around like grafties, grafting off of society, never accomplishing anything, because God made us to build and God made us to conquer. Why was last Sunday night so important to so many people? Because they wanted to see their team win. Why were so many people angry because their team lost? And so many others happy, their team won. What is it? Because there is that kind of nature within us. And God made us to what? To fight. There's a battle. And we don't have to lose. God gave you school to pass. God gave you 4 times 4 to learn. Because when you get done with that, then there's 5 times 5. Then it gets really big. But I'll guarantee you, if you're like most women, no offense to our ladies, but if you're like, you'd like to be able to count money, so you're going to be able to, so you got to be able to multiply all that. Give her a hard time. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, thank you so much that we have this wondrous sword. Lord, I pray that you might excite us to get to know it, to understand its every feel, to realize its tremendous importance, how to use it, when to use it. Lord, to know when to run the tip within to bring death to that which seeks to conquer us. Lord, to ward off the evils that come. To, like David, slay the giants. Lord God, exalt this wondrous book in our hearts and our minds, realizing with the armor and the sword, we are more than conquerors through Him. Blessed we go from this place tonight, and we thank You in Christ's name. Amen.